Did you know that the sixth leading cause of death in the United States is Alzheimer's disease? And that one in three seniors dies with Alzheimer's or other dementia, and it kills more than breast cancer and prostate cancer combined? I know times are tough, but I'm asking for your help. As the chair of the Iowa Board of Directors of the Alzheimer's Association for the next 2 years, I am working harder than ever to raise awareness and to raise funds to rid the world of Alzheimer's and all other dementias. And your money doesn't just go to research. It goes to care and support groups, which are free, by the way. The 24-hour hotline, which is free, by the way. To education and awareness programs in every community across the country. And it does go to research. The Alzheimer's Association is the third leading funder of research and the highest funder of research that is a non-governmental entity in the world. And they're making strides each and every day. So please, give it some thought. If you're interested, please click the link in the show notes to donate to our Alzheimer's Walk Team today. Your money stays in the local communities to impact, to support, and to educate people all across the country about Alzheimer's, the warning signs, and how to get care and support. This is a disease that is quiet, but it's continually taking away lives of people all around us, including my great aunt, my neighbor, and a dear family friend. Again, the link is in the show notes to go and support our walk to end Alzheimer's. And if you just want more information, you can go to alz.org. Welcome to another episode of Live It Well. This is episode 6 of season 3. I am so excited to have this week's guest with us. You know, we've had a wide range of guests here on the show this season, and that's what I love. You never know where the conversations are going to go, and we're still kind of in the midst of quarantine here in Iowa, and I was fortunate enough to be able to meet up with a friend of mine, Chelsea Deal, who has an interesting story, just like myself, and that's why I wanted to talk. We both lived in New York City at one point in time. We reminisced about that a little bit. Dollar pizza, yes, it's a thing. Yes, only New Yorkers know what it is. And yes, we both miss it. She's a mother to two little precocious boys, and she and her husband both had to work from home during quarantine, so had some really interesting conversations about that. About food, about raising kids, and dating as millennials. So I hope you enjoy this conversation between me and Chelsea, and I'll see you on the flip side. This is Live It Well. Excited to have you with us today, Chelsea. Welcome to the Live It Well podcast. We have a cat on the table.
Welcome to my life. Right. It is crazy.
But the kids aren't here. The kids are back at daycare.
Yes,
so
they are.
That's a change.
Yes.
Now the cat's in my face. This is going to be new.
As long as the dog doesn't get on the table.
Yeah, that'll be a whole new thing. So where'd you grow up, Chelsea?
I grew up in Northeast Iowa in a town called Waterloo.
I didn't know you grew up in Waterloo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. I took a roundabout way to get
so,
back
so you,
to Iowa.
College, University of Iowa?
Yes.
So you didn't want to go to UNI?
Nope, too close to home.
You needed to get out.
No offense. I know you went there.
It's okay.
No, it was in my parents' backyard. I had to leave.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. What'd you study at U of I?
Marketing.
Okay. Yep. So that's what you've been doing this whole time.
Yes.
And that's where you met your husband, Jeff, who I know better than you. But,
yes.
How did you guys meet?
Ironically, we applied for the same job. We applied to be leasing agents at an apartment community in Iowa City, and it was a group interview, and...
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it was very weird, but we found out through the questions in the group interview that we had a significant amount of things in common. And the property manager said, we both had significant others at this time too.
Okay.
And the property manager said, if you guys weren't taken, you would be that perfect couple. Fast forward 2 years, we're both single and start dating. So
who got the job?
He got the job. I didn't get the job. But then 2 weeks later, someone got fired and I was the first call. So
that's so funny.
Yep. So we did end up working together, even though he got the job.
He got the job first.
And I didn't. Yeah.
Does he hold that over you?
Oh, for sure. And he was way better at the job.
Because he's still in the profession.
Right. And I think, I mean, he's an attractive guy. And all these girls.
It doesn't hurt in the sales world.
These girls would come with their moms and lease apartments. So.
Mom's like, you got to live here.
Right. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you guys start dating. And you dated for, if I read it correctly, if I'm wrong, please tell me, but 6 years? Or was there a marriage in there?
No, we dated for a very long time.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even know. All the years just run together.
They do at this point.
So we started dating when I met him when I was 19. We started dating when I was almost 21, and dated through college. He moved. Then I moved. Then we moved again and again. And then eventually we got married.
Did you know the proposal was coming?
No.
Okay.
I had hoped. We had dated so long.
There better be a ring at the end of this.
But I don't think either of us were in a hurry.
Yeah.
He moved to New York and then I...
You followed.
Yep. And when we lived in New York, no one is in a hurry to get married.
No, not at all.
No. In the Midwest... It's a completely different mindset. Yeah. You graduate college, you find...
And you should have your person picked out by that point.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Absolutely. And then you get married and have kids and do all the things. but in New York, it's completely more career driven.
Yes.
And so my boss thought I was crazy that I had such a serious boyfriend, but...
That's funny.
Yeah. It all worked out.
So he goes to New York, and when you went, did you already have a job or did
No.
you... I did the same thing.
Really?
Yeah, no job. No job. And it worked out.
It worked out.
Yeah. How long did it take you to find a job?
Not very long. Like 2 or 3 weeks.
That's not bad at all.
I took pretty much the first job that I was
offered. You have to though. Yeah. You got rent to pay and like, yeah.
And it is actually laughable how little money I made.
Right? It's insane.
Yeah.
My first job... I think was 32.5, and that was in 2011. Like how I paid my bills is beyond me.
Right. I think I made $30,000 living in New York City.
You can't do it.
No.
Like you just, yeah. What do you miss most about New York City?
Everything.
There has to be everything. Okay, good.
I love New York so much. I love being able to walk everywhere.
Yeah, I miss that a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, we moved back. We're both from the Midwest, and if you spend $1 million, you are going to have so many bedrooms and so much grass.
30 acres, yeah.
Yeah. So I just think it was to have kids and raise them in New York City was something so far beyond what either of us could envision.
Yeah.
And that's why we moved back towards the Midwest.
That's exactly the reason we did too.
Really?
Like we wanted to start the family. We didn't want to start it there.
Yeah.
Now in like hindsight, like I feel like it would be awesome for her to grow up there.
Absolutely.
But we wanted her to have the yard and like that kind of experience because we both had that.
Yeah.
So much like you too. So on your blog, you had a post about Christmas in New York City, which we loved. I mean, Christmas. Like from Thanksgiving all the way through the New Year, like it's just like the most beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
What was like, did you guys ever ice skate on the ice?
No.
No.
I'm trying to, no. But we always went and enjoyed the tourists.
There. Yeah.
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 We quickly became, you know, you stay out of the touristy places for the most part.
Yeah.
So we quickly became those cynical New Yorkers. We're like, no, we never go to Times Square.
you would take people there who come and visit.
Right.
And like our last week there, we went just to go again, like at night.
Yeah.
And we're actually going this October. We're taking Kennedy with us. And so we're going to, she's not going to remember, but we're going to get pictures in Times Square and
crap like that. Yes, you have to.
You have to. Mm-hmm. What was your guys' favorite thing to do in New York City?
That's a great question. Looking back, it was just the lifestyle of it.
Yeah.
And we lived, when I first moved there, we lived in Astoria, Queens. Okay. And then we moved to Jersey City because I worked on Wall Street and my husband and Jeff worked, he worked uptown.
Okay.
So it was just, it took me so long to get to work from Queens. So we
to get to Wall Street for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So we moved to Jersey City and I took the PATH train for like 5 minutes underneath the Hudson and I was there. But I think my favorite thing to do in New York City was to just walk.
Walk and just experience it. Like whatever happens is going to happen. And
yeah. And every five blocks, you're in an entire different world.
Yeah. I miss that. Mm-hmm. So we lived in Astoria as well. And I loved it there. I'll still like Google Map and just Street View and just like reminisce about different experiences and places because it's just, there's nothing like it.
Nope. It's, you can be in a different country in New York City.
Yeah. I don't miss the thing I love about here. Like I can actually run to a Target and get stuff. Like to go to a Target, it's a whole journey. And like you can only buy so much.
True. It's true. We had a zip car at our nice. Which worked.
Good plan.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jeff had a lot of cars for his work.
For his work, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I miss everything.
Yeah, we miss everything. Yeah. I think Steve probably thinks about it every day.
Yeah.
I'm probably maybe like once a week. But
really?
Yeah. Just because it is. It's so much fun. There's so much energy. Like, there's a show on the History Channel right now about Ulysses S. Grant, which we're watching. And, like, he's got his tomb and stuff on the Upper West Side.
Yeah.
And which we went to. So, like... That shit is just there everywhere, and it's fun, and there's always something to do.
Yeah.
Which, that's not always the case. Like, there's a lot to do here in Des Moines, but definitely more in New York City. Yeah. So.
And it's so much cooler to live in New York. I mean, being from the Midwest, when you tell someone you live in New York City, they're like,
what?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
You're a completely different human, which I think has benefited my life significantly.
Yes. I would agree, and like I can't wait for my daughter to ask questions about it because I can say you can go wherever you want to go. I will support you because I did the exact same thing.
Right.
Like I'm not afraid to support you taking chances and living your best life.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, learn so much when you travel.
Yeah.
The people you meet, the things you see, pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. Yeah.
So you guys have done a fair amount of travel as well.
Yes.
You did a quick getaway to China, if that's a thing. I still can't believe that happened.
I can't either. Yeah.
72 hours.
72 hours in Beijing.
What's your favorite place that you guys have traveled?
It's so hard to say because we travel we got married in the Dominican Republic, which will always have a special place in my heart, but... A beach vacation is too cliche for me to say. I think my favorite place when we got engaged, we went on a 16-day road trip through 5 different states.
Okay.
And we went to a bunch of national parks and national monuments and we tent camped. And that was by far my favorite trip.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because it's... I got to go to China and London and, you know, I've been to, which I love, but just the simplicity of getting in a car and driving around the U.S.
Steve doesn't want to do that until we're old and I want to do it today, but so we'll figure that one out.
You should definitely.
Yeah. I mean, like growing up, we did a lot of trips here domestically.
Yeah.
So like we did like South Dakota and like Southwestern U.S. We did a little bit on the East Coast. Like, I want to do, like, all the Civil War stuff, and I think I'd probably convince him to take Kennedy when she's old enough to, like, experience that. So, because when we moved here, when we moved from New York to here, we drove. We packed up a truck and drove. Midway through the first day, we stopped at Gettysburg. Like, we were driving by. I was like, well, we need to stop and, like, walk around, and, like, I could have spent a whole day there, but we had to keep driving.
It's a long drive.
It's a fucking crazy.
We didn't stop.
What?
We just kept going.
Oh my God. No, we stopped twice, I think. Because we wanted to make it some kind of a vacation. So
we should have.
That was one of the hard, like, I was ready to leave New York. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready to go back now on some level. Like, it was hard to drive away. Like, it was emotional, which is weird. Like, it just has this special place.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I lived in Kansas City for 4 years, and I don't get emotional about that. It's like, it was a place to live.
Mm-hmm. I don't get emotional about Chicago.
Yeah. Because it's just a big city, right? Right. It just is what it is. But, yeah. Have you been looking for the next best clothing brand? I found it for you. It's Bruck & Co. Their designs are awesome, their clothes fits great, they feel good, they look good, and best yet, you can go from the gym, go to dinner, play with the kids, go to the barbecue. They're utilitarian, and they work everywhere for any occasion. Check them out, bruckandco.com, that's B-R-U-C-K and C-O.com, to check out their designs, check out their shirts, their other products. I love them. I wear them. I'm proud to support them on this podcast. And for you, our loyal listeners, we have a discount just for you. If you go visit them at bruckandco.com and use the code LIVEITWELL, LIVEITWELL, just like it sounds, live it well, you'll get 10% off your next purchase. Again, so proud to endorse them. Love their gear. Love their designs. They're modern. They're fun. They're different. You're not going to see them anywhere else. Check them out, bruckandco.com. Use the code LIVEITWELL for 10% off. And thank you so much for listening to this show. You are a big coffee lover, much like myself.
Yes.
Did you have a favorite coffee place in New York?
Sadly, Starbucks. Oh. Because it was in...
It's everywhere.
It was in the lobby of my office building. That was the stop in, and anytime we needed to get away from our desks,
you would go get Starbucks.
Yeah. Isn't that sad?
But, like, it is and it isn't, because it is literally on every corner in New York. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just need a coffee or a bathroom, you know where to go.
Yeah, and Wall Street isn't really known for...
Down there, not at all, really.
No. Yeah. All the fun places. I mean, now it's completely different when we went back. Okay. There are a lot more apartment buildings. So things are starting to be more bustling and less business. There.
Yeah. Now here in Des Moines, what is your favorite coffee shop? And I know it's not Starbucks, so.
Lately, Light Bright Coffee just opened.
Down the street?
Yes, we love it. And I mean, they open during all this.
They can't even, like, have people in there, like, sitting down and enjoying coffee.
Yeah. They have their grand opening for takeout over there.
Yep, exciting.
I know. I watched as they were starting construction, and then all this happened.
Yeah.
So we've ordered plenty of takeout coffee from there. Yeah. And my husband even bought his coronavirus face mask from there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
When did you start drinking coffee? Because I feel like it's a very, like, much like alcohol, it's a very acquired taste.
Right. In college. Okay. Too many.
Was it black coffee right away? Or,
yeah.
Okay.
Too many energy drinks.
Oh, I don't think I've ever had an energy drink. I just hate the smell of them so much.
They're disgusting. Yes. But I would go to the library and stay up all night studying and drink energy drinks. And they're just terrible.
Yeah. Not
all
good.
Around.
Not good.
Not for your body, not tasting.
Yeah.
So then I started drinking coffee. And I knew everyone that I knew put sugar and cream and all the things. And I like to be more simple than that. I also knew I would consume a lot of caffeine. So
you can't put sugar in it every time.
Yeah. So it's very little calories.
Yeah.
Like 8, I think.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have 2 little boys.
Yes.
The youngest one is 15 months, 16 months?
Yes.
14, somewhere in there.
He turned 1 on St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Kennedy's a month older than he is, a little less, whatever. And then your oldest one is 3. He just turned 3 too, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
How are they?
They are busy. They are so busy. Like, now that our youngest can walk, it's insane. It's insane. And adorable and all the things.
I have to say, I love that your oldest, for his birthday, wanted to go eat sushi. Like, when I saw you post that, I was like, that's my dream. My daughter wanting sushi for her birthday.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how that happened. We don't eat a lot of meat. We do eat seafood occasionally, and sushi is one of the things that we
get. You do. Yeah.
And we were out at a sushi place, and we ordered him fried rice, and he ended up eating all of the sushi off of our plate. And we order a lot of the veggie rolls.
Yeah.
So he, I mean, that was the first to go, but yeah, he ate sushi, and one day we ordered him fish sticks at a restaurant, and he was so mad because he thought, what did we order? He thought he was going to get sushi because that had been the only fish that he had eaten. That's amazing. So, yeah. I mean, it's good, but we have a toddler that complains about fish sticks.
Because he doesn't want them?
He doesn't want them because they're not sushi.
So he can't do fish sticks.
Yeah.
So I make tonight, I think it's tonight, or no, it's tomorrow, it's fish taco night. And she doesn't eat the taco part, but she eats the fish. I'm like, you're my favorite right now. Like, she just doesn't question it. She just throws it in her mouth.
I love it. I know. You get into a routine of making whatever your the child kid,
yeah, I'm not happy with my food lately.
Yeah.
But she's got to eat it. And
right.
She does eat, like, we make this, Steve makes rather, this chicken orzo meal. And, like, it's got mushrooms and, like, it's very, yeah. It's a lot of complex flavors, but she handfuls it in. Like, I'm like, yeah. This is great. But then, like, super simple stuff that you think that she would eat, won't touch it.
There's no rhyme or reason.
No, there's not.
No.
No.
It's an experiment.
Yes. Like, she'll love something one week, and then the next week she's just completely rejecting.
Yeah. It is.
It's just a struggle.
Yeah. We put all the things in front of our kids. Yeah.
She eats hummus, though, which
really?
I'm very... Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve hates that I give it to her, like, so often, but it's like, she's eating. Like, don't argue with me.
Right! And it's good for you.
It is. Like, it's not bad for you. Like, it's better than puffs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But...
I know. Our toddlers love hummus, too.
Yeah.
All these foods that I didn't even know
never
existed.
Had. No. Because gross. Like, it's...
Right. Avocados.
She still won't do that yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Our children love that.
That's good, though.
It is,
yeah.
Except when they, you know, are basically green because they smear it all.
Yeah.
Lots of baths.
We have, so Kennedy, she doesn't do it as much, but like early on in like the actual food stage would grab it with her hands and then like put her arm over the side of the tray and just drop it down on the floor. And then we'd tell her no, and she would look right at you and do it again. I'm like, you little, you shouldn't act like that yet.
Yep. We have that going on. From all of us.
Are there more kids on the way? You guys done with two?
I can never give a definitive answer. I'm 100% sure my husband wants to have eight.
Eight?
We had always talked about having a family of two children. And now that I mean, if we have more, it won't be because we had this super planned out discussion about when the right time is to add to our family. Because I think what we realized is there's never a good time for the ages of your children to add another.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, our children are 23 months apart. Bringing a newborn when you have an almost 2-year-old is insane. But there's never a good time.
No, it is what it is. Yeah.
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 So, I don't... There's convenience in being a family of four, but I already miss having a little baby around.
Oh, God.
I know.
I was talking to someone today, and, like, he was like, you guys gonna have another one? I was like, no. For a multitude of, like, reasons. But then I got to talking with him, and I was like, I don't feel like I can handle having a baby again. Like, I was exhausted, and it takes a lot to make me tired.
Yeah. Oh.
But
the exhaustion doesn't end.
I believe that.
Yeah. It never ends, right? Because then you chase a...
Yeah, we're chasing her now.
Yeah.
She figured out the whole walking thing in the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just constant movement.
Yeah.
But she's happy, so...
That's all that matters.
Yeah. Happy and healthy, so...
We can sleep later.
She still gets up.
She does?
Yep. I got her to 7 or 7:15 this last weekend in the morning, but
that's success,
I guess.
Our kids sleep in during the week when they have to get up for school.
Oh, but I wake her up. Like, I work. Yeah, it's get up and
well,
go.
Well, so do we. But on the weekends, they're. My claim is that they just love to spend time with us. So on the weekends, they're so excited to spend the day with mom and dad. They're just going to get up really early. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. She's still in a crib, so like she can't climb make out. That decision so much. Yeah. I mean, she'll get up and make noises. And when she, on the weekends, like when she is fussy in the bed is when I go in there and like, okay, let's get up and get going. But as long as you're happy in your bed, I'm not touching you. Like,
I know. No, we put our two in the same room.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
We put them in March. I'm going to blame it on this quarantine that we put them together so we could have our office space. Oh,
that's right,
because
you needed... Yeah, gotcha, that's right.
Yeah, and we need... The first world problems, needing a guest room and an office in your house. But both of our parents live far away, so
you can't,
we need to have a guest room for when they come. So, yeah, we move the boys into one room, and it actually works out really well, except on the weekends in the mornings, Jackson is in a toddler bed, so he can get out, and he knows that there is a stool that he can climb into the baby's room.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, I often wake up to both of them in the same bed, filled with stuffed animals
that's
and all
cute,
the things.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
So what do? You got two kids. You do the job. What do you do for fun?
You know, that is a question I've been struggling with lately. I think fun for me at this stage is being with my family. Pretty soon they're not going to want to spend any time with us.
With mom and dad.
Yeah. So we, you know, we go to the Arboretum and have picnics, and we go for so many walks, and the toddler's starting to learn how to ride a bike. So we just spend a whole lot of time together.
Yeah.
But what my husband and I love doing is exploring Des Moines, and traveling. Which we haven't been able to do much of lately.
Yeah, on both fronts.
Yeah. So we've been ordering a lot of takeout from our favorite restaurants, but just being with my family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if you're a big reader or not.
Yes.
What kind of books do you like to read?
I'm typically reading a fiction and nonfiction at the same time.
Mm-hmm. What kind of nonfiction is your jam?
I mean, technically, if you were going through a library, it would be the self-help section.
Okay.
I just finished Everything is Figureoutable by Marie Forleo, which was really good. But, yeah, just, you know, those inspirational, motivational books that make you want to do all the things. Yeah.
But then it's time to go do all the things.
Yeah.
So what things do you want to do?
So I have a blog that it is what makes my heart the happiest. Because I'm a marketing person, but I market for other brands.
Right.
I'm the voice for other.
Yep.
And it's so much more force than doing it for yourself. But those jobs pay me.
They
more.
Do.
So I spend a significant amount of time. I have a full-time marketing job. I have marketing clients that I work with on the side. And so my passion project, my blog, it always kind of falls to the fourth of the priority list. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's something I love doing, and it pushes me to try new things, which... My gardening project.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah. So I'm challenging myself. There's these things that your moms and grandmas and dads were experts in when you were growing up. And maybe they weren't actually experts, but they, as a child, that's what you saw. My grandma was amazing at cooking. My grandpa had a garden at his farm that we would always go and pick. And none of these skills I developed enough as a child, you know? So I'm tackling all of those right now, figuring out how to be a gardener and this master chef My brother's teaching me how to be an amazing bartender.
That's your brother?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're just, you know, exploring all these things that.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
You have to. And I think, so we have a garden and a flower garden. And, our garden's struggling this year. I don't know what's going on. Like the carrots haven't even popped out, which is frustrating. Green beans are like half up, which is weird because those are usually like super easy to not screw up. So I may just replant. We still have time to do that.
Yeah. But
I love doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I get it.
Yeah. And they're all intimidating things, though.
They are. It's a knowledge base that we don't have.
Right.
Right.
And so I made my husband, I didn't make him. I give him ideas and then he
just does them?
Yeah. But you know him. When he gets focused on a project, he
does it
all in.
Yeah.
And so he built this massive fence around this garden area and all these raised garden beds. And now I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to become a master gardener.
Yeah.
Because now I have the space. So all of my neighbors are going to be like, is she going to feed the town?
Like community garden now? So you're doing the alcohol stuff with your brother.
Yes.
What's been your favorite drink so far that you've made through that? And it's only been like 4 or 5 or 6 weeks.
We did 6 weeks of mostly classic cocktails. I think my favorite was the whiskey sour, which really surprised me because it has egg whites in it.
Yeah.
And that
I don't think I can do that.
It's super delicious. But you can make a whiskey sour with gin, and it's called the White Lady, which, I mean, so stereotypical. But also delicious.
Okay.
My least favorite is the Negroni.
Yeah, you just wrote, it looks beautiful.
It looks beautiful. Nope.
See, I feel like I'm the very typical American male. Like, I just want the whiskey. Like, just that. I don't want rocks. I don't want, just give me the drink. Same with the beer. Like, I don't need like something crazy. I want the German beer, whatever.
Right.
That's just me though.
Yeah. I mean, it's so much more simple to open a beer. We have so much craft beer in our house and we love German beer.
You guys
beers.
Are big craft beer, beer people.
But I'm trying to, the husband is doing our basement. And so we're going to hopefully have a bar and
I've offered to help him and he just never takes me up on it, so whatever.
Well, you might want to be careful because he is starting the flooring project.
Okay. So on our honeymoon, we went, Germany was our first stop, and we went to Oktoberfest on the first day. Probably the best thing we ever did was just go straight to Oktoberfest. Because, like, you think about it's like a classy Iowa State Fair almost, is how we like to phrase it. Like, all these Germans and tourists are drunk by 1 in the afternoon, but they're just happy. They're just having a good, like, it was just amazing. So, we still laugh that we don't know how we know how we got back to our hotel. But the fact that we got back to our hotel, not speaking the language, was amazing.
Yeah.
So,
that is on our bucket list for sure.
100% I say do it. Like, don't even question it.
Right. Just go to Oktoberfest.
Yeah, just go.
Yeah. I'm going to have to work out so I can
lift those steins. Oh, my God. And we had, so, like, they have, like, waiters who come around, and the guy who came to help our table, we sat outside, but he understood that we couldn't read the menu, so he, like, helped us through ordering food and stuff. It was, like, super nice of him. But, yeah, so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Recommend it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're definitely going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we took a Uber from our hotel with two expats. One guy was from Austria, one guy was from the States, and like so they talked us through like a bunch of different stuff and like talked us through some stuff on our trip. Like it was so cool. Which I don't know if that would happen here necessarily.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Everyone's so friendly in Europe.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even when you get lost.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The scariest thing is not being able to read for me.
Yeah.
We rented a car when we went, not knowing which gas to put in, like am I supposed to pay for parking here? Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but you figure it out.
Yeah. That was the biggest challenge going to China. No one speaks English.
Yeah. Yeah. No. China's on our list, but that's not our next trip. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone who came here from Bosnia as an adult, and you don't, as most Americans, you don't, you're not typically in a situation where you can't read or see the pictures or understand anything, where you don't realize some of these people that come here and don't speak the language. Yeah. This is what the, this is normal life for them. Yeah. And this was us when we were going to China, and it was an eye-opening experience for us, for sure.
I bet. Mm-hmm. We were going to be going to Ireland in September. That got canceled. So we're looking to reschedule that. Yeah. But
I know. Yeah. I'm so sad.
Life happens.
Yeah.
Sucks. Apparently. It was going to be our, it was our anniversary trip. Like, it was just, but you know, it's not important, but still.
It'll happen.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
So I always end every episode with four fun questions. Okay. Don't think about them too hard. They're just meant to be fun. All
right.
What is your hidden talent?
My hidden talent is... Yep.
Good. Okay. We'll move on. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite kind of pizza?
Veggie pizza.
All the veggies.
Not deep dish.
Not deep dish.
No.
Okay. Do you want? Do you want
New York style?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You got to ask Chicago. The question. Yep. Okay. That's fair. That's fair. I definitely miss the dollar pizza.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Huge slices.
Huge slices. Like, there's no, like, you get a dollar. You can't even get a dollar slice here. No. Yeah, they don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What song or artist is your go-to?
Right. Country music. Sarah Bareilles, I listened to during the day.
Okay. That's a good call.
Yeah. She's very...
You can just kind of groove to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love country music.
Who's your favorite? I'm going to jump another question. Who's your favorite country artist?
Anyone, any country artist that starts with Brett. Brett Young, Brett Eldridge. Okay. Brad Eldridge, probably.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what is your favorite word?
My favorite word is one word.
Or a phrase, I guess.
Well, after reading Marie Forleo's book, it's everything is figure outable.
That's fair. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Chelsea, if people want to follow you, how do they find you on the interwebs?
My blog is Little Lessons by Chelsea, and my Instagram is chelsea.deal, and yeah.
Awesome.
That's where.
Well, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I love that we both had very similar memories of New York City. You know, I went there as a tourist once or twice before moving there. And when I visited, I never thought that I would live there. But after having lived there, I still definitely miss pieces every single day. Some days are stronger than others. And I think anyone who's lived there will have that kind of connection to the experience. And as a mom, we both kind of... hers are 3 and 1, mine's 1, and so having that connection is also very interesting, especially during this time of COVID and the issues with police brutality now, and how we raise our kids and get the best out of them. So I was always jealous. Parker, her youngest, has always eaten a little bit better than my daughter, and so I would text her husband and just vent in frustration. And she's finally doing better, but we're not at the sushi level or the cucumber level yet, but we'll get there. I'm confident of that. But I think the other interesting thing that we touched on was living a passionate life and being intentional with your time. And she's had her blog for a while, which the link is in the show notes to go follow her and her blog. You know, life is all about living, and that's what this podcast is all about. Living it well, and she has chosen to spend her time with her family, with her husband, with doing things with them on the weekend and doing local coffees and dinings, but also doing that little side project that gives her so much joy and value. And there's nothing better than that and all these conversations that I get to have. And so that message of live it well really stands tall and stands true here after this conversation with Chelsea. So I hope you take that from it more than anything, is just living your best, most authentic and passionate life. If you liked this week's episode and like this podcast, please do go give us a rating wherever you listen. That always helps people find the show. And if you want to tell your friends about it, also please do that. You know, we have some interesting guests and they're always going to remain diverse. If you have someone we should talk to, please send me a note. The Live It Well podcast on Instagram, which is where you can follow this particular podcast, or you can follow me, the host, Richard Dedor, on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. So please, thank you again for listening, for being a fan, for being a friend. And as always, live it well. Music for this episode is Ukulele Fun by Raphael Crux. The credit for the music is found in the show notes. And as always, we can be found online at Live It Well Podcast on Instagram, or you can find me, your host, on Instagram at Richard Dedor. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.